Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, September 9th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's listening here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my experiences in relationship, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it out, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those repeatedly, they form a wonderful tutorial to help you get the most benefit out of these tools in the shortest period of time. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on it, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often for a variety of reasons. The first is, it's been our experience that the more people actually apply these tools in their lives, the better their life quality and relationships get. And the other reason is that the more people do that, the more it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, feel free to do so by calling 563-999-3581 and pressing 1 on your phone, or sending us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org, and we will do what we can when we receive those from you to address the comments or questions or testimonials on the internet show, and then, as time allows, send you a notification letting you know what day and time we discussed that topic from you, and you can go back in the archives and hear the response or the discussion. So feel free to reach out, and as I like to tell people, even in the middle of a show, if I'm in the middle of a monologue or reading something from Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery. It's completely appropriate for you to call in. Even if I seem to be in the middle of something, I will either turn on your microphone right away or wait until it feels right in the flow of the show. And as I already said, it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work when you let us know how we can be more specifically or directly of service. So it has been a full and busy week already, and it's only been a 3-day week so far. Lots of things are going on. Lots of people are experiencing strong responses to the events in their life, and what we like to teach people in this work and what Way of Mastery is telling us so thoroughly and in depth is that we are creating those responses, that it literally is not the events in our lives that are creating the impact on us. It is the way we are choosing to interpret and respond to those life events that's creating the impacts that we experience. And so, you know, in my caseload alone this week, there are people who are experiencing loss in jobs, loss of the life of a friend or a friend's child, or witnessing a death, or going through transitions in life, losing a brother. And I feel blessed to be able to offer these people the perspective that has so much effective leverage if they choose to use it to create an entirely different and often a much more productive, more loving, more gratitude-based response to the flow of life than what our culture teaches when we label things and judge them, etc. When we step back instead of saying this is bad or this is wrong or this is tragic, and we step back and take a breath and say something like, I wonder how this is going to work out. I wonder how I can use this to do the work I need to do to move to the next level in my life. I wonder how I can be a blessing to myself and others in this moment as this is unfolding. We had another experience in the group last night, which we have quite often in the support group. And just a quick reminder, there are support groups available free of charge. You can donate if you want, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, almost every week, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And last night we had another experience in the support group where we were listening to something, and just minutes in to listening to an audio file, someone typed in the chat room, I'm already triggered. Now, at the same time, there were other people thinking, oh, I love this. I love what this person's saying. Dr. Tim's right. This is exactly like the Way of Mastery and the Course in Miracles and Guy Finley's work. And yet, another person who was listening to the very same vibrations through the speaker in her phone or on her computer, she got triggered to upset. And she used that energy field disruption, that hunch that she had, that gut feeling, that there was something in this man's voice that she didn't like. And she used it, and she did some research, and she found out, oh, yeah, there's some things about this person that I don't like. And so it was a wonderful example of at least two different things. One is how we all make our own impressions from the world of sights and sounds and sensation. We all create the impact it has on us individually and sometimes radically differently than people who are standing right next to us or hearing the same vibrational patterns, etc. And then the second thing is the value of learning to trust your gut feeling, your hunches, your insights, your intuition, your gut, your heart, whatever word you want to give it. This is a valuable source of information for us. And we're living in the Western world where we do not get trained into paying attention to this and or valuing it. So please understand that as a part of this work in the way of mastery, as a part of the exercises, the core of it is giving us a set of opportunities to learn that each and every one of us has been given a connection to a source for wisdom, insight, intuition, creativity, expansion of love, the energy of creation itself. Each and every one of us has been given that connection to that source inside of us. It is not outside of us in some guru. It is not outside of us in some church or some priest or some master teacher. The source for your access point to that wisdom, to that creativity, is inside you. And the source of your experience of life is inside you. So we were reading the second reading through on the Way of Mastery, Lesson 20, and we left off yesterday right before a new section that's titled Observing Your Choices. And the text reads, "Look well then in this moment. Take a breath and settle into this. This moment. Look into it." The text says, "Stop and look within the mind. Then observe the simple day that you have been living thus far and ask yourself, what have you desired in this day? And allow memory to bring to you the choices that you have made. Look upon those choices for whatever feelings, perceptions, and thoughts you may have had. Look upon them, please, please, look upon them with perfect innocence. Simply observe," quote, "Oh, in that moment, I was certainly not desiring peace. In that moment, I certainly wasn't desiring perfect remembrance. How interesting," close quote. Think about it. Please think about it. Everything that has already happened, this is one of the lessons you can get from Byron Katie's work. Everything that's already happened in your life, you could choose to use the filter as you look back on it, the filter that says, this was perfect, just the way it was. And you might say, why would I want to do that? This was painful. This was the death of a child or a friend or a spouse. This was a breakup of a relationship that I wanted to be lifelong. This was, you know, the job that I thought I was going to retire from, and I loved it. And why would I look on that, the ending of any of those things, as perfect? And from the Byron Katie work, the reason I would do that is because it's kind of a two-part thing. Number one, it's already happened, and it's part of what's bringing me to this moment in life. And number two, I don't have a time machine, so I can't go back and change it. So if I sit here and judge it negatively, I'm pouring mind energy into something I can't control, and I'm creating a negative emotional state in this moment. There's a triple whammy there. I'm generating negativity about something that's in the past, even if it's only 2 minutes ago, but certainly if it was 10 or 20 years ago, and I'm bringing that negative emotional state alive in me in this moment. That is not going to make this present moment enjoyable for me. So in this part of Lesson 20, it's saying, please, learn to observe your choices very neutrally, very lovingly, with this understanding that it was simply a choice made in the past, and I can choose again. I had a person in my office just today, and she had tears come to her eyes when she realized that in her early 40s, as she is now, she's having some of the first moments in her life where she enjoys and appreciates herself as a person, and then has extended that to thinking, you know what, maybe somebody else could enjoy being around me. And as soon as she's letting that in, she has tears of sadness come up. And I ask her, what are the sad tears about? And she says, I just think it's so sad that this is the first time in my life, and I've wasted all of this time. And I just encourage her to breathe and bring her attention to the fact that in this moment, she can either sit in the appreciation of her value, of her skills, of her intelligence and sensitivity, and her ability to feel gratitude for it, or she can shift over to the sadness and the upset because she's judging that she should have had a different life, or she should have been able to appreciate it sooner. And since she doesn't have a time machine, she will only feel frustration the more she thinks that, and the more she generates that frustration from thinking she should have, the more she generates a negative emotional state in this moment, and the more upset she feels now, which means she can't appreciate the gratitude or the joy, the loving energy in the moment. So this lesson, lesson 20, is saying, please, just look upon the choices you have made in this very ordinary day with absolute innocence. The text goes on and says, if you can find a moment in the day that you have lived so far, even if you began listening to this lesson 5 minutes after you got out of bed, if you look well into those 5 minutes, you might just discover that there's been at least a moment in which you were not deliberately choosing to desire remembrance of your union with all of creation. Probably has happened. Most of us have a busy day. Most of us have housework to do and schedules to keep and or children to take care of and or a job to get ready to show up at, dressed in a certain way. And so there are probably moments in my day where I wasn't focused on remembering my instant, constant, eternal connection to my source. The text goes on and asks, now, does this mean that you're walking around saying, quote, I desire union with creation. I desire union with creation, close quotes. No, those are just words. The desire is a feeling state. It pervades the heart. You might say that you feel it in the body, which is really just the depth of the mind anyway. So there's a remembrance that this teaching points to something that's pretty much at odds or 180 degrees off of what the Western medical model would teach, or most Western science would teach. certainly against what most Western religions would teach. This book points out to the fact that your body has arisen inside the field of mind. Not that your mind is something that sits inside your body, inside your head. So it's not that you walk around saying, I desire union with creation, I desire union with creation, I desire union with creation. Because even if you did that, that's just the words. You can do that and generate negative emotional states or frustration because you think you're not experiencing the union with creation. But the desire they're talking about here is a feeling. It's an energy vibration. It pervades the heart. You might say that you feel it in the body, but remember, the body exists within the field of mind, within the depth of the mind. The text goes on and says, look well and see if there is a moment in which you are using the power of the mind to decide against the kingdom, against love, against awareness of your instant, constant, eternal connection to your source. Of course, you will find it if you look and you'll see. And then it says, when you find that moment, just look at it. Observe it with innocence. And simply say, ah, I could have had a V8. Ah, I could have chosen otherwise. Okay, next time maybe I'll choose otherwise. That is the simplicity of the power that the kingdom is. You create with your choice of the focus of your conscious awareness, you create your experience of life. The text goes on and says, the world remains uncaused by anything outside of your mind. And yet within it, you are given complete dominion, complete authority. This means that within the one mind of Christ, individuation occurs. For a moment, perceive the one Christ mind as an ocean where individual waves arise. They are made of the same substance. There is perfect freedom, perfect knowledge, and union with the ocean, with the one mind. And the union is eternal. It's always. It's outside of time. It is without end. That is where your entire planet once came from. That is what your entire solar system came from. Your entire universe was born from this energy of desire, the creative energy extending, expanding. The next title section is titled, The Key to Transformation, Assume Complete Responsibility. The text reads, the key then to transformation of your lived experience while the body lasts is to assume complete responsibility for how you are choosing to use the mind. Remember, only you can think a thought. Only you can have an idea. That idea cannot enter your domain over which you have complete dominion unless you have sent it an invitation. That is simply the way it is. It is a mirror of what creation is, infinite and perfect freedom. Creation simply never deviates from desiring only the extension of love, the birthing of what is unlike itself. That is you, the birthing of you, the birthing of the mind, the one mind, the Christ mind. Your will is joined with your Creator's when you decide to birth only that which reflects love, capital L love, the good, the holy, and the beautiful. The mind, as you have come to know it, will deceive you into thinking that, quote, Well, if I live that way 95% of the time, then what the heck, 5% of the time I can do something else. Close quotes. That is absolutely true. Yet, the more you come to truly desire only that which reflects the truth of who you are, you will be able to tolerate less and less variance within yourself. That is why when any mind truly begins to awaken, it becomes more and more painful to continue certain thoughts or behaviors that do not reflect the deep desire of the heart. This is why the gap continues and becomes less and less. This is the gap of unconsciousness, the gap in which the mind tries to defend its choices and perceptions, gets smaller and smaller until it finally rests in complete openness. The text here uses the word vulnerability, and I'm substituting the word openness. Complete open allowance and surrender. It lives in complete innocence, and no longer, the text asks us to please listen carefully. It no longer fears change within its system of thought. It no longer fears being challenged by another mind because it thirsts only for the creation of a thought system that can birth forth the good, the holy, and the beautiful. That mind, when it is fully awakened, no longer explains. It no longer defends. It no longer seeks to convince. It merely abides and gives itself over to the stream of love, capital L love, this creative energy flow, that would flow through it. Every idea presented by another mind becomes something to live with, something to digest, something to see if there is a jewel within it that can add to the beauty of its own expression of the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Everything becomes grist for the mill. What is grist for the mill? Grist for the mill is the smaller rocks that they would put in the mill to grind the grain. Because if they only used large rocks and had them roll around on top of the grain, it would only break the grain down into large pieces. Most of the grain would stay in big chunks because as these rocks are round, there's a very small surface area that actually crushes the grain, and so they would put smaller rocks in and they would roll around and break up the grain even further and stimulate. Grist for the mill is something that helps accomplish the stirring up and the breaking down of the grain into the smaller parts. It helps push you to the resolution that's desired. So everything that another person says, rather than being a challenge to you or an attack on you or something you need to fight against, becomes something that's grist for the mill, something that you simply observe with the same innocence that you observe your own thoughts and your own judgment and say, oh, yeah, look what I did. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what it would be like to just sit with this thought for a while, live with it, see what value might come from it. See if there's a jewel in there that I can use to add to the beauty of the expression of the good, the holy, and the beautiful that I have committed myself to. The text goes on and says, when this happens, when a mind awakens to that point, there is no longer a need to be in defense. The body does not tighten. The breath does not grow short. There is only openness. Again, I'm substituting the word openness for the word vulnerability in the text. There is only openness. The reason I'm doing that is because all of these great teachings tell us you are perfectly safe. You're whole and completely safe. There's nothing of value that can be taken from you. There's nothing of value that can be added unto you. You cannot be hurt. Your essence can't be hurt. Chipped, dented, rusted, faded, or broken in any way, you remain as your Creator created you to be. And so the word vulnerability implies that you can be hurt. And so I substitute the word open. There is only openness. There is no longer a need to hide. There is no longer the need to be concerned with the perceptions of others, since a perception cannot harm you. There is only such love of self that nothing less than the essence of creation will do. The text goes on and says, so again in this lesson, we speak on the theme of desire. For reference point, chapter 4, lesson 4 in this book is all about the energy of desire. We seek to bring you to the point of realizing that desire is the great power of creativity. It is that which births your very experience. Desire is perfectly free. That desire, that power to desire is within you, and you will never be without it. It is impossible to be desireless, since you can only find yourself to be where you have desired to be. Even if you are in a deep and perfect silent meditation, you are there because of desire. Therefore, beloved friends, please decide this day to take responsibility for what you desire. Recognize that what you desire will be what you experience. Recognize that what you desire literally creates the pathway whereby you will experience either heaven or hell, peace or turbulence, love or fear. In each moment of desire, right where you are, you have just birthed an entire world. For out of that desire, you will create your perceptions of everything from yourself to the farthest of stars, all in a split second, a moment of timelessness. The text goes on and says, part of the journey then of the way of transformation is learning to transform your lived experience so that you enjoy it more and more, you are attached to it less and less, and you fear it not at all. There are many in your world who would yet perceive spirituality as a way to get out of the place in which they find themselves. People are not understanding that they can be nowhere save than in their own mind. The only place they can be is within the experience they've created in their own mind. And as long as there is a desire to get out of where they are, they will remain stuck within it, because only love can heal. And in this sense, love is the energy of creation. It's all that is. So what they're saying here is the only thing that heals is the allowance, acceptance, and surrender to the flow of life itself, to understanding the truth of your nature, to understanding the truth that is true always, to be in conscious connection with that. That's what initiates the awareness of healing. The text goes on and says, therefore, the way of healing, which is the way of transformation, requires that you turn back to look at your creations, not to look back into your own mind and bring love to whatever is arising out of a desire. I believe I misread that. Therefore, the way of healing, which is the way of transformation, requires that you turn back to look at your creations, to look back into your own mind and to bring love to whatever is arising. You do this out of the desire to be the presence of Christ. In other words, out of the desire to be aware of your true nature as a spark of the Christ mind. Now, does this mean that as long as the body lasts and you find yourself in the world of space, time, and movement and all the rest, that you will not take the body from one location to another? Of course not. Yes, you will still be in the body. You'll feed it when it's hungry. You'll move it here and there when it feels like moving. Does it mean that third-dimensional relationships will not come and go? Of course not. They will come and go. It's the nature of existence in the physical realm. As this book talks about, everything that's birthed in time ends in time. It does, however, mean that you become completely free of the old perception that an attraction to a certain relationship is going to add something to you of some kind of value, or that the avoidance of a certain relationship is going to keep you safe. Rather, you begin to be free to let the dance of the third dimensional illusion simply have its day, but it no longer holds power over you. I believe this is where, in a previous reading, I brought out the Bill Hicks, life is like a ride in an amusement park. It's just a ride. Let it play itself out. Understand that it can't harm your true nature. It can't add anything of value to you. It can't take anything of value from you. You are perfectly safe in every moment. The text goes on and says, the highest state of awareness then, in which perception has been totally cleansed and purified, is one of paradox as soon as you seek to talk about it. For you will look upon yourself and you will see yourself as a body-mind with a certain name, living in a certain place, on a certain planet, doing a certain thing. And in the very moment, in that same moment, in the very same field of your mind, you will know that you are not that body and you are not that name and you are not that history, that you are something far more. You are something grand. You are something divine. You are something mysterious. And you are something beyond comprehension by any mind, at least within the realm of thought. If you will literally, and you will literally know and feel within the core of your being, the truth of both of these at the same time, even though to your logical, conscious, logical mind, they seem to be at odds with each other. But you will know and feel it within the core of your being that both of these are true. And there will be no opposition between them. You will no longer look at the personality and see a great schism between it and the nature of Christ mind, for the two will have become merged as one. You will look at the most ordinary event that you experience with your body mind and see no differentiation whatsoever between that and the kingdom of heaven. It is simply arising, and it is literally held in, pervaded by, and suffused with the reality that is true always. You will know that you are totally free when you no longer feel any obstruction to whatever is arising in the field of your experience. Why? Because you will simply see it as another opportunity to say, quote, Holy Spirit, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? What would it be like in this moment for me to simply realize that only love is real? Close quotes. And then you will listen to that voice. You will feel it deep in your heart, and you will simply act on that voice and no other. You will not listen to what other minds think that you ought to do. You will simply listen to that one voice. It will not speak to you from the ego. For there will be no judgment. There will only be acceptance, allowance, surrender, trust, embrace. You will simply come and go as the one unknown by the world, and yet one who looks to be very ordinary, one who looks to be the same as everyone else. The difference is that although the body still seems to walk upon the earth, You are literally embracing the earth. And in you, you will know that fear is gone. So here's a second observational exercise. We wish to extend to you some simple exercises that you can put into practice. We mentioned one of them already. The second is, take 10 minutes out of each hour, set an alarm on one of your little watches, and then for 10 minutes, actually observe how you're moving the body. For example, oh, I just got off the couch and I'm proceeding to the kitchen. Why? Oh, I'm having the desire for ice cream. It has arisen as a thought in the mind, and I have given it the power to motivate the movement of the body to take action, the action that's necessary to now put my hand on the handle of the refrigerator. And by the way, Yeshua is making a comment, I would have loved to have had a refrigerator back 2,000 years ago. And now I'm opening the freezer and I'm taking out the cold little carton that's made out of the body of some tree, and in it is a substance that some other mind created out of desire. Now I'm picking up a utensil called a spoon. This was born from another mind that had a desire to make life easier. I'm dipping it into the ice cream, and now I'm putting it into the body, which itself is the result of desire. And I am creating this experience. There is no other cause but this: the arising, the inception of a thought, a feeling, a desire, which has birthed the entire movement of a world called the body to create an experience of eating ice cream. You can do that for 10 minutes just by observing what you're doing. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean, well, I'm going to work in order to pay the bills? No, you're not. You're going to work because you've held the desire to create something that seems to give you a semblance of safety, predictability, and survival. This job or career is that which is birthed out of desire of your perception of what you think you need. So you're not going to the job in order to do something. You are simply putting the body in the car and driving on your freeway because you desired to do it. Begin to learn how to observe without embellishment, with complete neutrality, with simple childlike innocence, observing without interpretation or explanation, observing exactly what you're doing for 10 minutes. And then if you want to go back to being unconscious, by all means do so. In this way, you will begin to discern something that is also going on all the time, like an underground current or a river. For because you are reality, there is always the desire to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. This is your true nature. This is what you've always done. They talked about this in an earlier lesson. It's not a secret. It's nothing new. It's what you've always done. You've held a desire. You've acted on it. You've created an experience. It can be useful to become aware of that again because we've been conditioned out of it. We've been conditioned in our Western world and with our language and our families and our schools and our governments to believe that the outside events are causing our experience. So it can be quite useful to wake up and recognize the truth is every one of us is creating our experience of life moment to moment. In this way, you'll begin to discern something that is also going on the whole time, like an underground current or river. For because you are reality, you are creative force expressing in form, there is always the desire to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. By observing what you're actually doing, you will discover that you are actually succeeding at that far more often than you've given yourself credit for. You will begin to see in some of your ordinary smiles, in the decision to take a card and send it to a friend, in the decision to refrain from a hurtful word, you will begin to discover that that, too, was birthed from desire within your mind. And you will begin to taste that there is a depth to you that is already beyond fear, already beyond illusion, already resting in compassion, love, wisdom, and truth. You will begin to discover that you are already having many successes upon which you can build, and many successes that you can acknowledge within yourself as a way of getting the taste and the feel of this truth. Quote, surely Christ dwells in this mind. Close quotes. I once suggested to you that you remember only your loving thoughts. But the trick to that is that you must first become aware of them. So many become trapped in the depression, anxiety, and insanity of the mind because they put all their energy into perceiving what is amiss and no energy into perceiving their success as Christ. So in each 10-minute practice period, learn to develop the ability to observe what you are really doing. When you stop at your coffee shop on your way to your job and you go in and you give some money to the person who gives you a cup of coffee and you look them in the eye and you smile and say, thank you. In that moment, you have just succeeded. You have communicated truth. You have remembered that the one in front of you is worthy of your respect and love, and that is a success. Each time you can interpret the momentum of the mind for perceiving nothing but problems, each time you can interrupt the momentum of the mind for perceiving nothing but problems, you will begin to discover that the underground river of the mind of Christ is yet within you still. As you feel your successes more and more deeply, that in turn builds your desire to live in that stream of the Christ mind. And moment by moment, day by day, you will cultivate the power necessary to be consciously aware and identified with only that mind, that Christ mind. For a while, it will seem that there are two thought systems. The old one that you used to be identified with, and the one that seems to be being birthed within you. Really, it's not being birthed there, you're just remembering it. But you are choosing to bring the discipline necessary, the vigilance necessary, to retrain the mind, to be identified with the stream of reality that is flowing through you, not the realm of illusion, but to be identified with the stream of actuality, the creative flow, love itself, that is flowing through you. It is flowing through you, unimpeded, unobstructed, throughout all eternity, without end. That is the one gift that time provides you. That is all that there is. You cannot use time to store up a wealth in some bank account for the future, since the future does not exist. And you have no control over what will happen to your golden coins in your world. Time has only one purpose, the purpose the Comforter has given unto it. And that purpose is the atonement of the offspring of creation. Now, all of that sounds very lofty, and the mind says, well, yes, yes, of course, I understand that perfectly well. Thank you very much. Good day. And then the mind goes right back to its same old patterns. Having heard, it has not heard. Having tasted, it has not swallowed. So we encourage you to seize the opportunity to discipline your mind. What does that mean? To discipline means to properly teach. What does teaching mean? Educare means to draw out the true nature of your mind. The text reads, "The mind is still identified with the realm of illusion until you decide to seize time, recognizing its great gift to you, not as a punishment, not as a duty, but as an opportunity to become consciously totally free and to smile within your heart because you know that you are one with all of creation. So please decide to seize the opportunity to discipline your mind so that it becomes to be identified with the stream of Christ mind, whispering like a quiet voice underneath the roar and the din of the ego's conflicted world. For the world of the ego is filled with fear, doubt, judgment, and the need to be right, and the need to make others wrong, and the need to believe that there is some power or source outside of yourself. When you awaken and realize that the truth is true always, that you are never separate from your source, you will not ever complain about a moment of experience in which you have the power to desire differently. For as you desire, you will perceive, and as you perceive, you will experience. The whole game is simply this. You are totally free, right here and right now. You cannot do anything to become free. You can only remember your freedom by how you choose to use the mind in any moment. Time is an illusion. The things that pass by, the phenomenon of space and time, are just shadows that you have interpreted in a certain way. There is no gain. There is no loss. There is nothing to fear. The world can add nothing of value to you, nor take anything of value away from you. You are merely here in this temporary classroom with an opportunity to do what any master in any dimension can do. For you hold the same power as any master, the same power as I do. You hold the power to choose to teach only love. And what you teach, you must necessarily and immediately learn. Therefore, learn well to observe the mind. Ask over and over again, what am I really desiring? Not what do I wish I were desiring, but what am I really desiring? Remembering everything is a neutral event. It's just a learning experience. Separation does not exist. The truth is true always. Death is unreal. You are pure spirit. Time is just a context. The world is harmless. You cannot be a victim. You are free. The atonement is over. The ascension is completed. Once you get the message, get on with it by choosing to bring that reality into the dance of shadow called this world. For what good does it do to pray for freedom in the future? It is everything to abide in freedom now. One last thing about desire. The egoic mind is made up of attraction, aversion, judgment, either acceptance or aversion or hatred even. For example, this is right, that is wrong, this is good, that is bad. Be willing to embrace and accept the results of what you have desired. When you dip your spoon in your ice cream, enjoy it. Embrace its effects as the result of your desire. And when you buy an automobile and it breaks down, train yourself to embrace and enjoy it, just like the ice cream. Why? For a very simple reason. If the egoic mind judges this as right or wrong, if you judge the ice cream as good but the breaking down of your car is bad, what mind holds power over you in that moment? Are you free in that moment? Instead, embrace and enjoy it. Well, my car just broke down. Oh, but there's a beautiful sunset. I might as well just sit here and let the stars come out. After all, it wasn't really going anywhere anyway. Mind is everything. if you truly desire, if you truly desire more than believing in Christ, you must assume responsibility for transforming the mind by using your very ordinary moments in which to see differently. And as you reshape how you use the mind in every moment, you will come to taste profound freedom. Freedom that will carry you instantly far beyond the things of time and space. They will seem to be arising within you and passing away within you. Universes rising and passing away within the holy mind of Christ. That is the power given unto you. What are you worthy of desiring most? You will indeed discover and create your pathway to your own consummate awakening. There can be no end to the mind of the Creator. You will abide forever within it, like one who abides in an infinite forest. So why not be at play in the kingdom? Enjoy your exercises. As you do them, you will taste the deepening remembrance of the truth that is true always. You and your Creator are one, infinitely joined. There is no separation. And so be you therefore at peace. And again, we extend our thankfulness to you for having set aside the roar and the din of the world to be with us in this way. For you see, communication is the great joy of this aspect of the sonship, who choose to come together in delight and delight in remembering the truth that is true always. Therefore, it is our delight to create communication devices to join with you. You have a saying in your world, it takes two to tango. Thank you for joining with us in this celebratory dance that remembers the truth. Go then in peace. Amen. What do you do when you choose to observe accurately the truth that is true always? You create bliss. You create appreciation. You create gratitude. And we thank you for joining us here today for this listening, this reading, this sharing. And we hope you have a blessed weekend, and we will be back to continue to pick up or answer questions or comments on Monday. And in the meantime, I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tam. I hope you have a good weekend.
Same to you. Thank you very much. Blessings.
Thanks. Bye. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Friday, September the 9th, 2022. And their call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. I see Michael is already with us and has his hand up. We'll wait for the other Michael to get dialed in, and then we will continue doing the worksheet. This has been fabulous, Michael. Thank you for being willing to do this and for all of your awesome questions.
Pleasure being with you all, and I thank you all for all the efforts to make this platform possible for everyone.
Well, we're going to take the edit of each of the days that you all have worked on the worksheet, and we'll put them out there on the website. They'll be, you know, like in order by, you know, the dates that you did them, and it'll be a whole series there for anybody to be able to pick up and learn how to do a worksheet. So it'll go under those special MP3s.
Okay.
So, and Michael is with us. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mute challenged. I'm back. Delighted to be here. Welcome, everybody. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are y'all today?
We're rocking. all things moving forward.
Wonderful.
Supposed to get my computer back today so I can start writing. Oh, you may not have
been
part of that conversation, but Yinka, who the book study club in London has inspired me to go back and finish the rewrite of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So my computer's been in the shop getting some work done, so it's suitable for doing that. Just one more little detail in the role of things.
That is neat. Does that mean that you'll do another printing of the book?
I don't know yet whether it's going to be digital or printed. I haven't gone that far yet. One of my thoughts was to make it digital, and being digital, we can also add to it. You know, it would be like a live book, so we can continue to, as new discoveries, new information comes in, we can add to it. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Sounds wonderful.
We'll see. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm excited. I'm ready.
Yes, sir. We are too.
Yay.
We are.
Yay. So what's on your mind today? Where are we heading? Any special questions to start out with?
Nothing comes to mind right now. A very moving day yesterday with you on the show. And
yeah, I got a couple of calls and people were in tears over it. The insight that came. So that's cool.
I had tears in my eyes as you explained yesterday. It was very moving.
Yeah, it's interesting how when you hear it, it's just so obvious. It's like, wait a minute, where has this been all my life?
Yes, sir.
What happened? But that's the game on planet Earth today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're changing the game.
One by one, we will change that game. That's right.
Yes, sir. That's the plan. One heart, one mind, one being at a time. And with the vision that the tools become available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what we're committed to. So I'm turning the lead over to you. Where are we going to head? You're the man with the questions, which I am deeply appreciative of.
Well, we're all deeply appreciative of you and Jeannie and Dr. Tim and the rest of the team there that we can come and ask. So right now, I believe we're going to go to number 6. I think you covered, I guess we'll be sure we covered everything on 5B. Is that sound right?
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we review 5B just to make sure we've got it all in place. Now, actually, we covered that pretty well, that there's several different things that that we suggest people ask for. And, of course, if there are other things that needed to be added to the list for the individual, great, you know, adapt it, adjust it. But they're the best questions or requests of Ruka Dikuja that I've come up with over the years. And so once you cancel the goal, and I'll just, you know, ask you to bring your answer from number 3 down to number 5A, cancel the goal, and then invite that power to go to work, and let's just see what happens. Let's see if you do those steps. You've already got the goal set up. So if you bring the goal to number 5, you know, tap in, key into that space of active love. Cancel whatever the goal was that you came up with as your final goal. And what happens? You may even, if you'd like, just do a quick review of, so anybody who's new to the show today would catch up with, you know, maybe a brief explanation of one, what your goal was for who's involved in that process.
Okay, so specifically, that would be step 3, correct?
Step 3 is the goal. I'm just suggesting that maybe just for a quick review, if you'd share, you know, number 1, what the worksheet's about for you, the situation, what the thoughts are, and then what the goal is. Bring the goal into number 5 and do the actual canceling process and see where we go.
Okay. So beginning with the situation of
yeah,
my worksheet, is that
review.
Correct? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, just a quick review.
Well,
we
titled the man George that had changed dramatically the view from where I live across the street, and by putting in some containers, he had to remove the natural beauty of that view. So the goal was that he not mess up the view in the community. And
so what you wanted
him
to do was to mess up the view?
To not.
So you want him to mess up the view? If I say don't think about the color of your car, what fires in brain cells?
That's
this is a really important
cell,
thing
right.
in that step and in the worksheet, mm-hmm. is to really look at, that's why the words say the constructive result. And so you really want to be, and this is a big challenge for people to move out mm-hmm. of the focus for so long for humanity has been what we don't want. And it's a major challenge to move to even conceive of, well, what is it that I want? Well, I don't want that to happen. No, what is it you want? Well, I don't want that to happen. That's pretty much standard procedure in the world today. So if you're really clear about what you don't want, guaranteed you're going to get it. It's how the mind works. It's all resonance. It's all energy. So
I see that. That's
the
total mind shift there.
We'd reviewed that back when we did step 1, and you came up with a goal of what you really did want. Am I mistaken on that?
Well, let's see here. Let me look at my notes for 3 again.
And this is great because it really makes the point and how important it is. And it is urgent.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Michael, it's not coming to mind or my view at this moment. That okay.
So you don't have an actual worksheet that you've been writing on.
Yes, I do. Oh, it's on my notes. The goal I think that you might be referring to is that instead of saying not messing up Heartland, that was my first iteration, and now I look back at my notes from the show here, and that was changed to George would maintain the beauty.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's like, and I'm glad you're bringing that up because it's a really important inflection point because most of the world is working about and resisting and fighting against exactly what they don't want. And because the mind is an energetic device and works off of frequency, if you focus on what you don't want, the brain cells that resonate are what you don't want, and the brain cells that resonate determine what you're energetically creating.
Wonderful. I'm glad you have pointed that out also as I've looked back on the notes, that he would maintain the beauty instead of saying it the first way I said it. So
there you go.
Big difference. I see it now.
Yep. Yeah, it's major. It's a major key. So glad that one came up so we could remind everybody.
Yes, and me. So what we do want is what we want to reiterate and concentrate on.
Yeah, that's what you want to put in number 3, and that's what you want to transfer down.
Five,
whatever you write in number 3, you want to replicate that in number 5. You want to just bring it down word for word.
So 5A would be that I would choose for George to maintain the beauty.
Right. So now what are you going to do with that?
Then that goal needs to be canceled. I need to cancel.
Correct.
That goal.
To which most people reply, but Michael, that's a perfectly awesome, wonderful goal. Why would I cancel my need for that? Why would I get rid of a good goal? Here's why. Because if you load a goal that resonates content in your mind that's linked to any form of hostility or fear, then your mind will build a perceptual construct based in hostility or fear. And you're automatically in difficulty. So it's not that there's anything wrong with the goal. It's a perfectly wonderful goal. Just that if there's some form of hostility or fear that moves with it, then the perceptual construct that your mind is going to generate is going to be based in hostility or fear. And if it is, the mind is using corrupt data, and it's always going to lead to problems. So I'm going to cancel that goal as many times as I need to. And, you know, they ask Yeshua, well, if I talk to my brother, and how many times do I need to forgive? Now, in the Greek translations, it says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? As though it's my brother that I'm forgiving. We're offering to people, never forgive anyone for anything. That's one of the biggest mistakes you could possibly make, is to forgive someone or to forgive yourself. In Aramaic, if we read the translation correctly, it says, how many times should I forgive as to my brother? Not forgive my brother, but as to. And those two little words, I can remember when I first was introduced to that idea, it took me a long time to get, what does as to mean? What do you mean by as to? So let's imagine you and I interact, you're my brother, and you do something that brings up fear in me. I don't need to forgive you. I need to recognize that my physiology contains an energy called fear, and I'm in difficulty, and whenever that resonates, my perception is going to be distorted. And so I'm going not to going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive as to you, as to what you brought up in me. So you brought up my fear. It's my fear that I'm working toward forgiving, that I'm working toward letting loose of. It's not you. So another really key and important point. So I forgive as to what someone's bringing up in me each time I forgive. And so it's always going to be a good goal. It's always going to be something you could say, well, but what's wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfect. What a wonderful goal. Everybody should have that goal for, you know, for the people who are doing things in the world, whatever the goal is. So you're only canceling the goal because you recognize that it takes you into corrupt data in your mind, and you end up with a perception based in hostility or fear. And that will never serve you. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And to reiterate that if we're not forgiving the other person, we're forgiving.
Correct.
What is coming up in us.
Correct.
So that's a 180-degree turn.
180-degree turn. That's it exactly. The Greeks have got it exactly backward. What the Greeks have named forgiveness is actually pardoning, or what we've been taught is forgiveness is the act of pardoning. We've had a word switch take place. You know, Vladimir Lenin, who's probably responsible for more deaths on planet Earth than any human being in history, says if you want to destroy culture, just change the meaning of its words. If you want to get rid of people's understanding of something, change the meaning of one of the words involved, and their understanding is gone. It's now finished. There is no more understanding of it, and there is no tool left. You know, forgiveness was disappeared the day they changed it into pardoning. So the whole world's out there talking about pardoning, 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 but they're calling it forgiveness.
Wow, that is huge right there.
Yep. It's the core of it. And to me, the fact that this man 2,000 years ago understood this and gave it to the world just about as quickly as he gave it, it was taken away by the mind. And then the Greeks came along and reinforced it. And it still surprises me. I've got people I've worked with for decades with this, and they've heard me talk about this over and over and over. But those old brain cells are so ensconced in the mind, so tied in, that people oftentimes still say, I already forgave them. It's like, stop. No forgiveness of them. Pardon them if you will, and then go do your forgiveness work. So most of the world talks about pardoning as forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. So can we say this another way, that okay, so I pardon George, cancel my go, and the forgiveness is within me, within my thinking.
Correct. When you recognize that, your brain generates the world that you see, the perceptual construct, about 7/10,000ths of a second, behind the event in the actuality, your mind generates a picture. They've actually measured it in the laboratory. Gene came up with that research back a couple of weeks ago. So they've come up with the actual time frame. I was reading more about that today, and they compared it to someone playing baseball. So if a baseball player throws a ball at 80 miles an hour, by the time the hitter sees the ball, or quote-unquote sees the ball, they say he sees the ball, he doesn't see the ball at all, he sees a picture in his mind, perception, the ball has traveled 10 feet. By the time you quote-unquote see the ball, by the time the brain catches up with it, the ball has traveled 10 feet. And we've all learned how to compensate for that, so it doesn't look like there's any delay at all. But they've actually measured it in the laboratory, and the brain is 10/1,000ths of a second behind, or pardon me, 1/10,000ths of a second behind the actual event in the world. So when we're living in the constructs of the mind, we're living in what Yeshua referred to as the world of appearances. Remember, he said, don't judge by appearances.
Yes.
And then to the guy that wasn't in much as much of a hurry to do his work as he pretended he was, he said, let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are living the past live in the past. Collapse that construct in your mind through forgiveness, and you get to come to the experience of the actual world, what actually happens. Now, even as you correct your mind and everything in the mind is accurate for what's going on in the world, it's still from the past. The most you can hope from the mind, you can never get a present moment experience from the mind. The most you can hope from the mind is that everything it gives you is accurate about what's going on in the world. That's a big step forward. And that's what we're looking to do by correcting the contents of the mind that's based in hostility and fear.
Because we're told the mind is just a history of the past. Is that still correct?
That would be it, yes. Everything that comes from it. It has to be there in order for the mind to generate content based in it. It already has to be in the mind. So why am I canceling the goal? I'm canceling the goal because I recognize that I'm being tricked and I'm experiencing a construct from the past. And what I want to do is at least move up and come toward the present. And I want to remove the corrupt data, the hostility and fear-based data, from my mind. And the goal, you know, you remember we talked earlier about the fact that you notice you've never been upset with anybody when they're doing everything that you want them to do, unless, you know, you happen to be one of those just plain miserable people. You're never upset with anybody. Unless they're failing to fulfill a goal that you hold for them. And once you recognize that, then you recognize that you cancel the goal, not because you don't want what it's about, not because you can't have it. You cancel the goal because you recognize that your mind is using corrupt data and you want correction. You want to rid yourself of projected hostility and fear. Is that all fitting and making sense?
It is. Thank you. So I can take from that each time that I'm getting triggered about something is basically a worksheet that needs to be dealt with, and go back and cancel a goal that's bringing up hostility and fear.
Michael, I think you're muted.
Excuse me, I did mute for a second there. Yeah, you're canceling the goal so that perception collapses, and when it collapses in on itself, and that's what gives you access to the unconscious part of the mind, is when the mind, its perception is collapsed, then you get to access the hidden part of the mind. And that's when you get to clean it out. So the upset that seems to be about what's happening in the world, gee, the beauty's being destroyed, that whole picture collapses, and you get to drop into the hidden part of the mind that holds the upset. And when you can bring the upset directly to the surface in the presence of love, then the upset dissolves. And it's that dissolution or that transformation of energy that is forgiveness. That's where it happens.
And that's how we go from a perfectly good goal into something that's internally that needs to be changed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the goal accesses corrupt data. Now, ultimately, people will end up doing worksheets around the wonderful things in their lives. Usually most people start out with the, you know, the nasties in their lives, but then you go to even canceling the goal for the wonderful things, because if your mind is producing something 1/10,000th of a second after it happened, are you experiencing the present, even if it's a wonderful experience from the mind? No. And what we're working to do is to get to the direct experience of what's actually happening in our world.
Michael, could I ask you to run that by us again, please? So what you're saying is you're canceling, let's see. Even
most
a good goal
start,
needs to be worked on. Then, is what
well, all the goals, we're always looking for the constructive result. So all the goals are good. All the goals are wonderful. There's no problem with the goal. It's not about the goal. It's recognizing that what the goal resonates in you is something based in hostility or fear. That's the starting point for the work. So you cancel the goal to collapse that perception and heal what's underneath it. As you start moving along, you'll cancel the goal for even the wonderful things, quote-unquote wonderful things in your life. Because you recognize that even a wonderful experience, when it comes from a mind that's 1/10,000th of a second behind the actuality, is still doing the past. And if you're living in the past, then Yeshua would say to you, then let the dead bury the dead and the blind lead the blind. Stuck in the past. And so ultimately you even collapse the wonderful things and you get to the point where you develop the faculty and the ability to experience actuality as it is in the moment as an actual present moment experience. But first of all, it's about cleaning up the mind and its trauma.
Okay.
So I don't cancel the goal because I don't want it, because it isn't wonderful, because I cancel it because I'm acknowledging to myself that if my construct is based in hostility or fear, my mind is using corrupt data and showing me a totally false picture. And I want to clean that content. I want to clean, it's like cleaning out all of the viruses on the hard drive. You're cleaning up the viruses. And anything based in hostility or fear, relative to truth, anything based in hostility or fear is a virus. So it's about getting rid of those. Become virus free.
That's a real good analogy for us to understand. Hostility or fear is like a virus on the computer.
Yeah. Hostility or fear means that you're in corrupt data and your mind's telling you a lie by definition. If you're in a situation, you don't have to figure out the situation. You don't have to do the he said, she said, they said, it happened, this happened. None of that's necessary. All you have to do is go, oh, is my mind producing a picture based in hostility or fear? Yes. Then my mind is using corrupted data. I want to clean up the corrupted data.
Okay.
And that's the most difficult piece of the puzzle for people to understand and comprehend.
Well, I'm slowly getting there. I remember in the beginning of this work, coming into the work, I couldn't understand why we're going to cancel a goal. It's becoming real clear now. After all this time.
Yeah, it'd be like, if I type into my computer 2 + 2 and the answer comes up 5, then I'm going to need to do something to clean up the content of the computer. Just sitting there typing 2 + 2, 2 + 2, 2 + 2 is never going to get me anywhere. Holding to that action, holding on to a goal is never going to get me anywhere. I have to do something to go in and clean up the corrupt data. Canceling the goal allows me to get into internal memory, the unconscious, and clean it up. So how about if you go ahead and tap in? Bring the answer down to number 5 for George to maintain the beauty of the space. Cancel your need for it. Ask Grucco for support and see what happens. See what moves for you. You want to go ahead and do it out loud?
Yes, this is where I'm inviting Luca de Crucia to incline me toward the healing. That's the first checkbox. Restore me to my newborn essence, love.
You've done the canceling of the goal.
And canceling the goal, correct. And capacity.
So you actually said
to
yourself,
I
cancel my need for George to maintain the beauty of the space?
Yes, I that would have been better to start with that. So I cancel that goal of George to maintain the beauty of this place. And I now invite Luca de Crucia to incline me toward healing and restore me to my newborn essence, which is love. Heal my
Breathe.
Denial.
Notice what's happening with your breath. Consciously, purposely breathe.
Mm-hmm. Slows everything up. Beautiful.
And what's happening as you breathe?
Just a peaceful feeling, feeling of grounding. Yeah.
Any particular thoughts or?
Nothing that's coming up right now.
Okay. So how do you feel? Peaceful?
Peaceful, yes. Peaceful, grounded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How were you feeling up in number one when you started the worksheet? Number 1B?
Yeah, 1B was like, yikes, you know, frown and what's happening. Very likely anger, frustration.
So you can see a shift in your physiology and in your emotional state.
Most definitely, yes.
Nice. Cool. And if you look at that situation now, you think about looking across the road, what comes up in your mind? Or, you know, get up and go take a look. What happens?
Well, certainly much more peace than it was several weeks ago. And the frustration isn't there. I look at it and say, it is. Mike, am I still with you?
You are. He must be muted.
You certainly are. You certainly are.
Okay. Didn't lose everybody. So I was saying that I look at and the frustration isn't there, and I just realize it is. It's there.
When you say it, I realize it is, what does that mean?
It has come about, and you know, the canceling of the goal.
But when you say, I realize it is, I'm not sure what you're referring to as it.
That the situation has happened and it's there. It's
okay. So it is what it is rather than I'm projecting my frustration and pain into it.
Yes. It is what it is. That's even more clear.
Nice.
Is that
and
a,
then,
mm-hmm.
That's right on topic. And then looking at that goal that you held for someone to maintain the beauty has to be shown a time when you've not maintained the beauty of something, where someone perhaps accused you or maybe you accused yourself of damaging something beautiful.
So I should ask myself that?
Yeah, so 6B,
yeah.
I ask to be shown a time when I have not fulfilled number 3.
Okay, I see where you are. Mm-hmm. And I can come up with lots and lots of times. So that is what goes into 6B. So 6A's how we're feeling.
Correct.
After canceling the goal. 6B when I have
now
done this
right
to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I might have done it to someone else. I might have done it to myself. I might have done it to the
myself
environment. Just, yeah.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go ahead and write whatever comes, whatever memories come.
Okay.
And what's happening with your breath?
I found myself holding it for a minute, but I'm breathing again.
Good, good catch.
Yes. So at the after 6C, that is when you're drawing feelings again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And recommitting to love and canceling of all the times I wanted number three from someone else. And all this time, I'm gathering that we're still inviting Rukha Dukusha to help us with Rakma and remove the gateway, the filter in our brain.
Michael, I think you're muted again.
So as you do that, make notes. You know, you've made a step into your unconscious dynamics by canceling that goal. So just really pay attention. This is one of the reasons for doing the worksheet in writing. Really pay attention to what moves in you as you do this. And make notes on any thought that comes forward. You know, there might just be the flash of something that happened when I was three. There might, you know, could be anything. I want to make notes on that.
So that would pretty
and
much be on any
to your
step,
breath.
Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, especially after you've canceled the goal. That's what opens and starts to give you access to the unconscious dynamics of your mind, is the canceling of the goal. You know, in the Aramaic, that's the desert or the heart. Take care of the heart, for out of it, are the issues in life. This is how you take care of the heart. You're now going to be more in touch. Each time you do a worksheet, you'll be more in touch with unconscious dynamics. Pay attention to what it has to say to you. Pay attention. It will tell you what your next piece of work is. Pay attention. It will tell you where the issues are that are most important for you to deal with.
Okay.
And are you breathing?
Yes. As I write my
awesome
notes. Yes. Okay, so we've gone through 6C, drawn the feelings, committed again to love.
All right.
And what is, I'm looking at the side box now, my emotional upset level after, does that go along with, that's along with 6C?
Yeah, up at the top. And, you know, if I'm thinking back, we may not have done that step. Up at the top, when you looked at number 1B, what your emotion was, you make a note, was that on a scale of 1 to 10, what was that emotional upset level? Was it a 2, a 7, a 10? What?
I see.
And then you're just kind of checking yourself here afterward. What's my emotional upset level when I look at this situation?
Okay, got that.
Now, did you get what the initials are about in that box? So the second part of the right here, to help achieve this. So I'm committed to living a human life, that is to live as love. To help achieve this, I do a mass canceling of all the times I wanted someone to maintain beauty from someone. Checkbox, and then you just put the initials of anybody that you've ever had that goal for. You know, it might be self, it might be mom, it might be first girlfriend, it might be the guy you went to school with, you know, whoever.
Okay.
And just cancel the goal for every set of initials that you put in there.
Excellent. So it's not just... it's not just my initials, it's everyone that I can think of at that moment that would fit in that situation.
It's kind of like you got the roller coaster going, it's heading downhill. And so you want to process through every time that goal has ever been active in your mind and it's been frustrated. It's not been achieved. So whoever you held that goal for, and they've not achieved it. Again, it might be yourself. It might be anybody in your life. And in the situations that are, you know, bigger upsets that people do worksheets around, you know, there might be 20 sets of initials. There have been all kinds of people that have held that goal for. And becoming conscious of that helps to, once again, open the space for full conscious awareness. And breathe. And then number seven, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. You know, when you think about sending energy out, whatever I offer to somebody else has to come through my energy field. I get the original. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity to heal. Gratitude's a very powerful healing energy. So I'm grateful. And then I choose truth. It's reinforcing what we did back in step two, where I want to honor truth. I choose truth and perfect love. And perfect love, interestingly enough, when you go back to the Aramaic and you hear them saying, perfect love casts out fear. If perfect love is active, your mind cannot generate a fear-based reality. What is perfect love? Perfect love is rachma set over intentions, and then there's a corollary filter, a similar filter to rachma over perception. And that one in Aramaic is called kubba. Again, there's no such concept in the English or the Greek or the Latin language as these filters. So over the perceptual mind, there's another filter that in Aramaic was called kubba. And when rachma and kubba, they're interrelated and interconnected filters. And when they're both active, in Aramaic, that was called perfect love. And now you've gated out of perception, out of intentions by doing that, every negative or destructive goal you've ever had and every set of brain cells, any form of hostility or fear. So your perception, your intentions are key to love, which means your goals are key to love. Your perception's key to love because rachma is active. And now you've got the condition that was referred to as perfect love. And if fear is resonated when perfect love is active, and if you can keep that active, and ultimately one of the goals of this work is to support people being aware of this perfect love and maintaining it no matter what, being in a permanent state where that's active. And so if that's active and life comes along and resonates an old, let's say an old genetic terror trauma, the simple fact that that rachma and kubba are set, that we've committed to that and we're maintaining that, means that when something comes along that resonates something based in hostility or fear, that hostility or fear-based energy is automatically transmuted. It's automatically healed. So the hostility or fear, you know, and you look at
perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm. You're like it's a demon, you know, in that ancient construct. They're talking about fear as demons. It's just there to be cast out. That's what they were casting out. They weren't casting out creatures.
So it's the hostility and fear that's being cast out.
Correct. And any intention keyed to that or any perception keyed to that. Now you've got a healed mind. Now you get to start to live a true human life.
Michael,
that's
how
what
do
we're
you
here
spell?
To do.
Yes. Yes. So we have perfect love, so it's Rakhma, and what is the other one
Kuba,
you mentioned?
K-H-O-O-B-A. K-H-O-O-B-A. Kuba.
Kuba. Okay.
And if the pronunciation, pardon me, were actually accurate, it would probably, the K is silent, so it would actually be more like Kuba. It's one of those guttural sounds, both Rakhma and Kuba. If you were saying it, you know, it's one of those things that your mother told you never to do because when you use your throat like that, you spit on people when you talk. So it's actually Rakhma and Kuba.
So the guttural languages. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kuba. So both working together, both being present is perfect love.
Active simultaneously that and the mind can't generate. The mind can't utilize anything based in hostility or fear in producing either intentions, goals, or perceptions. Just can't do it. Good. Breathing is a good thing. That's what we're here for.
Yes. And then we have a healed mind. Wonderful.
Now, the last step is you want to formulate a new goal that you're willing to set and take action on toward the object of attention. So toward George. What would your new goal be for George, toward George? You know, the next time you see George, what are you going to do? The next time you think of George, what are you going to do? I mean, have you been thinking of George prior to starting on this piece of work? When you thought of George, what kind of energy left your mind? What kind of resonance was there toward George?
Probably not very nice.
Okay. So now what are you going to do?
I look back at my notes and I wrote out, I choose truth and perfect love. And I would think it'd be something along those lines.
Yeah.
How to choose truth and perfect love.
So,
of course, at that point,
what
I
would
didn't
that
know
goal
how to
be?
Choose. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. At that point, I didn't
right.
know how to choose a goal.
Yep.
So what would that goal be?
So what would that goal be? So whenever I think of George, I'm going to
think of perfect love.
Say again?
I think of perfect love.
Yeah.
I choose truth.
Consciously, purposely
love.
Choose to tap into love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to extend that energy toward him.
So is this where a saying that I've heard somewhere that we look at each individual as their true potential instead of what we think it is? Something along that, is that along
yeah,
those lines?
Yeah, as you see him, as you see him through Rakhma and Kuba, you will no longer project any of your deficiencies into your brain's image of him, and he's going to change. The energetic patterns that you send to him from the unconscious will change, and he will tend to respond differently to you.
Mm-hmm. And that is how the world changes one person at a time.
You got it. That's the bottom line of it all.
Mm. Soften and breathe.
And every person that allows hostility or fear to move in them when they think of someone is literally, you know, one of the things we get into our Laws of Living course is that a condition in one mind will tend to resonate that condition in another person's mind. So if I think of him and what moves in me is hostility, he gets within 10 feet of me and hostility is going to tend to resonate in him. If I'm, and there's that line in the worksheet, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. If I choose to resonate love, then the tendency is going to be, sooner or later, that's going to become strong enough in him that it'll take over his behavior toward me.
And it may not necessarily, and I'm not talking just in the case of George, but in general, it may not happen the first time then, or the second, or the tenth time.
Correct. But when you choose the higher energy, I mean, whatever energy you move, it's like two tuning forks. If I've got a middle C tuning fork and I put it near a second middle C tuning fork, that second tuning fork doesn't have any choice. Now, if I put a middle C tuning fork moving in front of a middle A tuning fork, that tuning fork doesn't have a choice either. It's not going to move. Nothing's going to happen because there's no energy exchange. There's no resonance. But when the middle C is put in front of the middle C, the second tuning fork has no choice but to resonate. Each and every one of us as human beings is that nature of love. And when we start holding to that rather than holding to all of our own unresolved hostilities and fears, then what will happen is people will, that energy, even if they've never, you know, aside from birth, you know, the first minute of birth, the rage and the fear started, the trauma started. If they have no recall whatsoever of it, sooner or later, that's going to become strong enough in them to break through the hostility and fear-based perceptions and experiences that they've had in their lives. This is going to change everything. And there's nothing we know of in the material universe that can stop the high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought. So if I think about the peasant in the fields of Russia, the energy that I tap into around that thought is communicated to the peasant in the fields of Russia. I don't have to say a word. It's just pure resonance. No choice about it. So when I choose love, why does it wake up the love in everyone? Because that's what everyone is. And when the energy moves in me, it has to move in them. It may take some time to move sufficiently for them to become cognizant of it when their habit, you know, get out of that habit mind, when the habit is hostility and fear. But it's going to move. There's no choice. Just the way resonance works.
Mm-hmm. So we don't even have to be present in front of the person.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. All minds are in continuous communication. And I'm always communicating to all the world whatever's moving in me energetically. The firing of a brain cell sets in motion an energy wave just like throwing a pebble in a pond. And the energy that moves is communicated.
That is really big. Really big.
Mm-hmm. Core stuff, core principles.
I think we have looked through the whole sheet at this point.
Yay.
We get to start it again tonight.
Aha!
And listen and re-listen.
Well, that's cool. We finished the worksheet in 8 days. Nice work. A lot of great material. This is going to become a future part of teacher training.
It's been quite a journey, Michael, and I thank you all again. And I'm sure I'm going to have some other questions next week.
Of course.
I'll work through that this weekend. And exciting. It's really exciting.
Well,
to
we're
know
down to about.
Part.
Say again.
We're coming up on. We're coming up on the.
We've got
end,
about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, yeah. If we run the clock up, we've got about 2.5 minutes or so.
Okay.
And we can run the clock up. We don't need to do the outro.
Yeah. It's just really exciting to know how we can help. In doing this, we're helping ourselves. We're helping our fellow person. We're helping the world. And we're helping ourselves by, like we talked about on Monday, I believe, and how we can help each cell of our body with our thoughts. It's really powerful.
That's exactly the reason for doing this work. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And every mind that joins in bringing into the manifest world a body fueled by love strengthens the presence of that energy and the potential for it to be expressed through every other person. That's where Yeshua talks about a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. That it only takes a small contribution from a certain number of people and the energy becomes universally available.
Huge,
so thank
brother.
You for your questions, your diligent work, and we look forward to watching how it unfolds in your world and how what you do with it impacts the world as well. Ultimately, our commitment is every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what this whole project is about, so we appreciate you being part of bringing it forward.
Well, welcome, and I appreciate you all also, and it's been a nice journey, and looking very forward to continuing it.
All right, my friend. Blessings. Blessings, and everybody have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and you have the power to give it. The world's waiting to receive it. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.